Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, hydration is always important, and I think it's especially true in the summer. And on the show today, we're going to start by talking with you about how to know if you've got enough water in your system. We have a couple of guests for you today. From the Nutritional Sciences Department at UW-Madison, Tara LaRoe is one of them, registered dietitian and faculty associate. Tara, welcome.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us. Beth Olson, an associate professor and extension specialist with us as well. And Beth, good to see you again.
Good to see you too, Larry.
As we talk with them, I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments or maybe your own experiences to share relating to this. What would you like to know about getting enough water in your diet? What questions do you have? Maybe about sports drinks. What about liquid IV? Something that came up. Trina LaSousa, our engineer, brought that up because she sampled it once and wanted to know about it. So you may too. I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Or you could email us. Email address ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Give a call, shoot an email. So what happens to our bodies when we are not hydrated?
Yeah, well, we'll get to that question in just a minute. I thought we might first start with, why is water so important for us?
Well, yeah. I figured what happens when our bodies, when we don't get enough,
right,
will probably tell us why it's important.
Right. So water is a nutrient. Even in nutrition classes, we often kind of think of it as an afterthought. We talk about carbohydrates and fats, and then, oh, yeah, and here's water. And water is a nutrient. It serves major functions throughout our body. So even just our body mass, 50 to 70% of our body mass is made up of water. So it's essential for regulating temperature in our body. It acts as a lubricant, so it protects our organs. It moistens joints and muscles to keep them nice and cushy and working well. It flushes the waste products throughout our body and for proper digestion, as well as carrying nutrients and oxygens through our muscles and other organs for and cells for essential function.
So if we aren't, all those various things that you've just talked about are less than 100%.
Correct. Yeah. So a lot of, right. So if we aren't getting enough water, if our total body water is decreasing and we're not maintaining, a lot of these functions kind of start to dissipate.
So how do you tell, Beth, if we're not hydrated?
Well, really key thing to do that's a little different than some people might expect is to watch the color of your urine. So if it's very pale, it's usually pale green or pale yellow, you're getting enough water. If it begins to get very dark in color, that's a sign that you don't have enough water, because of course not enough water is going into that to dilute out that color. But the other thing to pay attention to is if you feel thirsty. Thirst is a good mechanism for many people, not necessarily everybody and not in all circumstances, but feeling thirsty is another good one. There's other things too. If it's a warm day out and you start to feel a little lightheaded, a little nauseous, those could be signs you might need some water.
Need some water. Absolutely. Well, you know, it used to be that they said, well, drink 8 glasses of water a day, which seemed like an awful lot to me in some ways, but that's changed, right?
Yes and no. I mean, there's no one standard for one person. So the National Academy of Medicine, the daily fluid needs for healthy adults is going to be about 13 cups for men. So that's 104 ounces. So that goes above and beyond the 8 glasses a day, and 9 cups for women. So the difference is typically men have more body water based on body mass than women. And so men will require more total water. But remember, it comes from fluids. And fluids are not only from beverages, but also the foods we eat. So it's an accumulation between beverages and foods that make up the total amount of fluids.
Yeah, so if I have some watermelon.
Yep, that counts as water.
That's counting as water. How much am I going to get out of a lettuce salad?
I don't know the exact amount, but certainly if you're with the summer weather coming up and fresh fruits and vegetables being abundant, having that plentiful in your diet along with the beverages that you drink, you're probably going to reach your amount that you need.
Does it matter about temperature of the water? I mean, yeah, I usually have a bottle of water here in the studio with me, but I might drink a sip or two of it, but then the next day it's warm, but I drink it anyway.
Yes, for hydration, the temperature isn't that important in terms of how that water is going to act in your body. Where it might be important is generally cooler or colder water is more palatable. People are more likely to drink it if it's colder. So keeping, with your water bottle, you could fill we like to promote a reusable water bottle, but there's some excellent ones now that will keep your water cold for hours.
Yeah.
So that it tastes good and encourages you to drink more.
I don't have one of those in my golf bag. I walk, and when I play, you typically walk. So that's about a 6-mile walk with a 40-pound bag or so. So it's a pretty good. So I will have my water bottle will be empty after 9 holes and get another bottle. But even that's not probably enough.
Yeah, it may
depends
not be.
Depends on the weather, how warm it is.
Right, exactly. When the weather's very warm, of course, and we're sweating more, or and Tara does a lot of work in this area, if you're doing heavy labor of some kind or exercising, that's where even the 13 cups of fluid a day may not be enough.
Yeah. Troy in Swamigo has a question, maybe. Let's go there. Troy, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, guys. My question might be best answered by my doctor, but I have a kidney condition, and I'm wondering if I should limit my intake of water or if I should drink more water or if you know.
Well, yes. So first, I would speak to your doctor because some kidney conditions that you are describing they do require you to limit water based on the type of medications or treatment that you're under. So I can't give you a specific amount, so this is definitely a physician-asked question.
Yeah, but probably less.
Probably less.
Yeah. Yeah, something to check in with, Troy, with your doctor for sure. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. You can join in, too. Number to call 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Thinking about older people, if you have to go to the bath, I know people who just don't drink a lot because then they say, well, then I got to run to the bathroom right away.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and of course could happen to anybody, but older adults I think are particularly vulnerable because they might have mobility issues and other things that make them worried that they won't make it to the bathroom. But older adults also tend to have less body water than younger adults, so they're even more at risk of becoming dehydrated. And I think they can be about for quite a while with kind of a slight dehydration, not realizing they're kind of chronically underhydrated. And then if something happens, an illness, or they are exposed to extreme heat, they could dehydrate very quickly. And I think the other issue is when we say drink when you're thirsty, not all older adults feel the same level of thirst. So they just may not realize that they need more water.
So for somebody in that situation, is a headache or what is it, what might trigger, I need to get some more water?
So oftentimes there might not be a trigger because the mechanisms kind of decline as we age. So some common tips are just having water, your environment change around you. So having the glass or bottle of water around you. Individuals don't need to be guzzling water because oftentimes that will make you want to or make you need to use the bathroom more frequently. So just sips throughout the day, having something always available by your reach and just sipping periodically throughout the day.
Yeah, in my old office, there was a bubbler practically right next to my office door, which was really handy. And then we moved to a new office in the the bubbler was on a different floor, or they were on every floor but the one that I was on. So I realized at some point, I'm not getting enough water here. So I have, I've got a bottle there on the desk. And when I come in, I can fill it up, and then it sits there all day, and it's there. I need it.
So now anybody who listens from outside the area will know that where we're from, because he called the water fountain a bubbler, which
I do too.
But I think it's a good sign of how you can change your environment. You know, here at UW, over time, they replaced the more traditional bubblers, if you will, with ones that not only can you drink at it, but you can refill a water bottle with cold water.
Yeah, very, very handy.
Yeah.
Dave in Bloomer, let's give you a chance. Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Hello, I'm interested to find out how many minerals or nutrients there is in bottled water, the bottles that you buy at the store, versus well water. I'm under the impression that this water is boiled or processed in some way, the stuff in the bottle versus, natural well water.
Well, I think the bottles of water are labeled, so that's one way you can check, and some will specifically add some nutrients. They might add, especially if you're considering hydration, they might add some sodium or potassium or some of the other minerals, but compared to well water, it's going to vary with the well water. Everybody's well water is different, which is one of the reasons people will visit someone or go to a place and taste the water and say, well, it tastes funny. That's often not that there's something wrong with it. It's just it has a different composition of minerals, which we taste then.
Yeah, and that varies across the state, mm-hmm. in this state, for sure.
Yes,
lots of differences there. So who knows how. I mean, is there much in the way of oversight of the bottled waters?
So the bottled waters will be the oversight. They'll have a nutrition facts label, so they'll be oversight of the Food and Drug Administration. Mm-hmm. Some bottled waters will choose to fluorinate and put fluoride in the water versus city water, where it does have fluoride in the water. So there is oversight by the government on bottled water.
Dave, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Amy in Madison next. Hi, Amy.
Hi, I have a question. So I do a lot of outdoor sports in the summer, and I sweat a lot. So I'm very kind of obsessed with my hydration. Is there like a threshold for when you start to need to add those electrolytes to your water? Like some guideline on, because I don't know if I'm just doing it because I think I need to, or if there's a threshold for advising when to start adding those electrolytes.
What do you think, Tara?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of guidelines. So for the first 60 minutes, now this is in a cool environment, probably like today. First 60 minutes is kind of drink to thirst. And so kind of a general guideline is maybe, sips of water every 15 to 20 minutes. So that, around 4 ounces each time you're taking a sip of water. If you're going above and beyond 60 minutes, that's when you should maybe consider something a little bit more to replace some carbohydrates as well as electrolytes. So kind of that traditional sports drink. And especially as you described in hot and humid environments, if you're sweating excessively, you're losing a lot of sodium. And that's when you would want to choose a beverage that does have sodium in it. So you're replacing the sodium that you're losing through your sweat, in addition to getting back some of the fluid. Some tips here we've kind of already talked about is kind of that recognizing your thirst, getting ahead of dehydration. So getting plenty of water prior to going out. So taking in at least 20 ounces within 2 hours prior to that activity. Another thing that you can do if you really want to know how much water you should be doing during intense exercise activity and how much sweat you're losing is to weigh yourself. Weigh yourself before and after exercise. And that will essentially tell you how much body water you lost from sweat during that activity. So say you lost 1 pound during that exercise, you lost 16 ounces of fluid. You should be replacing that with minimum 16, but guidelines are 20 to 24 ounces of water per pound you lost.
Hmm. Interesting. Amy, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too. Number to call 1-800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at water and how to stay hydrated on the show today. Beth Olson, Associate Professor, Extension Specialist in Nutritional Sciences at UW-Madison. One of our guests, the other, Tara LaRoe, PhD and a Registered Dietitian and Faculty Associate in Nutritional Sciences at UW-Madison. So great to have them with us today. Our lines are all filled. You can join in at via email, ideas@wpr.org, or there'll be a line open pretty quick at 1-800-642-1234. Pat in Sheboygan has a question. Pat, hi.
Hello. My question is this. My husband always made sure that he drank a lot of water while he was eating a meal. But I always wondered if this liquid diluted the acids or whatever is breaking down the food in your stomach. So should you be drinking a lot of fluids while you're eating a meal or no?
Well, Pat, your husband and I are the same. I usually drink quite a bit of water, too, when I'm having dinner. What about that, Tara?
As far as drinking a lot of beverages or fluids with your meals, I don't think there's, I haven't seen any science related to, you know, is it effective of absorbing nutrients better or worse? One thing that drinking a lot of fluids at mealtime will do is that it'll probably end up having you feel fuller faster. And so if you are in need of the calories and the food at dinner time, then it will effectively maybe lessen that chance for you to get those calories and food. On the flip side, you know, if weight management is an issue and you want to conserve some calories, or this is one way of drinking fluids along with the meals, so it will help you feel fuller faster.
Pat, thanks for calling. Kathy in South Milwaukee, on to you now. Hi, thank you for calling, Kathy.
Hi, yeah. Wondering, I had read an article, and I'm sorry I can't cite the exact source, regarding that, you know, the original talk about 8 ounces, 8 glasses of 8 ounces a day. But I read that that was based not on a whole lot of actual science. And I just feel like, you know, I mean, that I believe in the importance of that water for sure. But I just think, you know, today it's getting ridiculous. People are, you know, drinking so much all the time. And I think of these countries where people don't have access. And I don't know, are they not as healthy? And, you know, don't we dilute some of our minerals and that as well with so much water?
That's a good question. I don't think we need to worry about diluting minerals. The main source of our minerals is not our water. It's going to be from foods, a wide variety of foods. There's different minerals in all kinds of foods. But we can get more minerals also from, and vitamins, other nutrients from other beverages we drink, and we can count those beverages in our fluid intake. So that was one reason that the 8 glasses of water a day was seen as probably not the best, because there were many people, as she mentioned, drinking coffee, tea, might have a smoothie, kids drink milk, juices, orange juice, and all of those count in your fluid intake. So if you did take all of those out and replace it with water, indeed you might maybe not get enough minerals. If you remove milk and juice and from your diet, maybe you won't get some of those nutrients. You'd need to replace it elsewhere. But I don't think just drinking the water is problematic in terms of getting enough minerals.
Kathy, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Get your calculators out here, because we've got a question from Sharon in Madison. She emailed that she and her husband are in their 50s. They're not new to canoeing. They entered a 51-mile canoe race this Saturday, and a 340 race, which is 100 miles a day for 3 days or whatever. Let's see, what is it? I had a little jump there. Okay. 100 miles a day for 3.5 days in July. So the first one is coming up Saturday, the 51-mile canoe race, and then the 100-mile-a-day race is in July. They're trying to calculate how much liquid they need to drink each hour. The first race, the temperatures will be in the 60s. July race is typically over 100 degrees with a heat index. Do they drink the same amount regardless of the temperature? What's a good target aim for each hour?
Yeah, so that's going to depend. Definitely, they'll probably need less water this Saturday because of the temperature, but when in the hot, humid conditions, potentially more. And especially in July, you're probably, because it'd be hotter, you're going to be sweating. Not only you'll need probably more water, but you're definitely going to need something with electrolytes, so the traditional sports drinks. So this can go back to kind of the calculation of maybe you have a practice canoe ride coming up before Saturday. Calculate your sweat rate. You can do that by measuring your body weight pre and post your canoe ride, and then dividing it by the number of hours you are out on the canoe, and that will give you kind of your fluid per hour rate that you should be aiming for every hour.
So get out canoe for an hour.
So if you're out for a canoe for an hour and say you lost 1 pound of body weight, you lost 16 ounces, so you're losing 16 ounces per hour. So you should be reaching minimum probably 3/4 of that. So the goal here is not to decrease your body mass by greater than 2%, because greater than 2% your body mass is going to, you're going to have declined cognitive functioning, and then performance is going to significantly go down. So you kind of want to be within that 2% dehydration range of your initial body weight.
Sharon, good for you and your husband. Sounds like an interesting summer ahead for you.
That sounds amazing.
I hope you get a T-shirt or something for doing those. I hope there's got to be something. Jerry in Wisconsin Dells, your turn. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, good morning, Larry and your guest. Say, I had a comment on dehydration. I wonder if many people realize the connection between dehydration and both muscle cramping and chronic back issues. I don't know the mechanism for the muscle cramping, but on the back issues, my theory has always been that if you're dehydrated, your discs have less fluid, and they compress more than normal and impinge the nerves. And that's been my experience over the last 20 years. Whenever I feel either muscle cramping in any part of my body abnormally, or back issues creeping up, I immediately drink a lot of water, a couple liters, and usually both problems subside. And I haven't read or heard that anywhere, and discussed it with my doctor recently, and she agreed. So I was just wondering if your guest had a comment on both muscle cramping and back issues with chronic dehydration.
Well, definitely you'll get muscle cramping if you become significantly dehydrated. And I think people see this watching sports on TV, where an athlete will go down and be holding their legs, and trainers will be running out to massage and bringing out water, that they've become dehydrated, which will make your muscles cramp, sometimes during the exercise, sometimes afterwards. And that can be a function both of the water and the loss of electrolytes. I've not heard of back issues related to hydration outside of, you know, those muscles may also not feel good without enough water. I don't know that I've heard anything related to
the discs.
Problems with the discs.
Yeah. I mean, it's a plausible, it's certainly plausible, because it does help lubricate joints. And so it's part of the joint fluid going in and out. So I can certainly see how hydration would affect back, as well as, remember, muscle is, it's made up of predominantly water. So of course, if your muscles are dehydrated, you're going to see cramping in those muscles.
Yeah, absolutely. Jerry, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in too, by the way. Open lines get you on fairly quickly here at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Amat in Fitchburg, your turn. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Yes, my question is, real tea or coffee, which people usually drink. I myself drink tea and coffee during the day, does the same job as like bottled water for dehydration?
Yes, those are perfectly great alternatives if you don't want to drink water or don't have access to water. And of course, some people just enjoy, it's a part of their culture. Sure. Or their habit to have coffee or tea. We caution people to watch because the caffeine can be a bit dehydrating depending on how much. I think current recommendations are that 4 cups of coffee are considered safe a day. That amount of caffeine is probably fine. But if you take in more caffeine than you typically take in, it could lead to dehydration. But indeed, things that are fluid do count in helping keeping you hydrated.
All right, there we go. Thank you so much, Ahmad, for calling. Appreciate it. Christy emailed a kind of a fun one here. Years ago, she had a routine checkup with her general physician, and there was an intern sitting in on the physical, and the doctor asked the intern, "What's the best way to find out if your patient is dehydrated?" And Christy thought and said, "Well, see if the skin on the back of their hand retracts immediately after you pull it." And he said, "No." The intern said, "Check the color of their gums." And the doctor said, "No. Best way is to ask them if they're thirsty." It's the first sign of dehydration. Do you think that's right anymore?
Well, we commented on that just a moment ago, that as we age, our thirst mechanism sometimes declines. And so it's not always correct, but definitely that might be the go-to, is if you feel like you're thirsty.
Okay, there we go. Thanks for that email. I loved it. Kelly emailed, wondering your thoughts on Pedialyte, the electrolyte solution for children. She seems to have better luck staying hydrated, having them stay hydrated with this. And actually, it's kind of hard to keep in stock since the younger generation figured out it helps with hangovers. Pedialyte, what is it to begin with, Tara?
It's basically an electrolyte solution, so it'll help with rehydration. So oftentimes, small children are also prone to dehydration if they are sick, if they're vomiting or diarrhea. And so we give them Pedialyte. It's a fluid. It has sodium and potassium to kind of correct electrolyte and enhance water absorption in the cells. So that's what Pedialyte is. It's also becoming very popular among the sport community because it has those essential electrolytes for hydration needs.
And if you have a hangover, apparently.
Apparently, I learned something new today.
Oh, man. John in Winona, Minnesota, let's go to you. Thanks for calling.
Oh, am I here? Am I there?
You are.
Hi. Say, I'm an old guy, 85, and I'm just thinking that when I was growing up and up until I retired, I never heard any of this talk. You got to dehydrate. And it's sort of like a mantra. And then, but we never did that before, and we never worried about it, and nobody ever died of dehydration. But now it just seems like, even no matter what the program is, that they're always talking about it. But sometimes I get to thinking, maybe this is just a method of getting advertising for the Bottled Water Association. And again, when I go back when I was a whole lot younger, you never saw a bottle of water for sale like it is today. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe our water supply is not as good as it used to be, and so therefore it wasn't necessary, or the thing is, I never used to listen to the radio 10, 12, 14 hours a day when I was working for a living because you had to work. And so I just never heard it. Maybe they always were talking about it. And maybe this is not a new phenomenon, but I hear it because I'm listening where I didn't used to listen when you're working for a living. So what's the story? Is it really necessary? I mean, where was everybody talking about dehydration 30, 40, 50 years ago?
Yes, I think, of course, the water need was always there. And when we think of, some of the manual labor on farming, years ago, I remember my grandpa drinking just tremendous amounts of fluid because, you know, he was working so hard. We probably do hear more about it now because we have so much access to the internet and radio and TV to see all the advertising that we would have not seen, you know, years ago, or if it was, it was in a magazine. You had to sit down and read it. But I think we always knew it was essential. There could be some lifestyle changes now, maybe people being a little bit busier and forgetting to drink. People are living longer, so we have more older adults who have some issues with dehydration. And, you know, maybe kids are, you know, in some more organized sports, so there might be more increased need for water there. So yeah. I think it was always important, even if we didn't hear about it.
Yeah, I think it was always there. I'm just thinking back to my days as a kid growing up on a farm. You know, my mother always had these big jugs of, it might be just lemonade or water or whatever, and you're baling hay or something. That was always right there.
Yeah, we've talked with our, you know, our siblings and such, all of this certain age, that years ago we just ran out inside and played, and all the neighbors had a hose hooked up outside,
right.
And when you were thirsty,
right.
You went and turned on whoever's house you were at, you turned on the hose and drank out of it. So we didn't have bottled water back then to send along, but we also, everybody knew that you could get water at the hose.
John, thanks for calling. Clyde in Madison will give you a chance. Hi, Clyde.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call, Larry.
Sure.
I was calling to comment about an earlier discussion you had regarding back issues and hydration. I thought I'd share my experience. I've had chronic back issues for over 40 years, and layering on top of that for a while, it's now resolved, but I did have prostate issues as well. So, you know, pale urine was an exception for me for a long time. And even after my prostate issues were resolved, I kind of had a habit of not drinking a lot of water. So things didn't change in that regard, and my back problems persisted. Then one time I was at a concert, an outdoor concert, and they had an IV tent that you could go to. So I tried it, and immediately after standing up, I was shocked that I was more limber than I was when I sat down for the IV. So I have no idea if it was disc-related or muscle-related. I certainly didn't even have it in my mind that that would be the result, but that is what happened to me.
Clyde, thanks for calling. Comment on that, Tara.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a testimonial to the great function of water, that it seemed as though rehydrating seemed to alleviate a lot of his back pain issues. And I'm not saying that's the treatment of it or the cause and effect of it, but it's definitely plausible to think that rehydrating and being properly hydrated will help with muscle and joint pain.
Yeah, there's probably not many conditions, although we talked about the kidney disease, probably many conditions aren't going to feel good if you're not hydrated. So being dehydrated may come out in different ways and for different people. And lack of water is not going to help anything, unless, of course, you have a very specific medical need to restrict your fluid.
Yeah, and he mentioned a regular IV, but there is liquid IV now. When I first heard that, I thought, oh, is it something they actually plug into your arm? But it's a drink that's called liquid IV.
It's a drink that's called liquid IV, and it's basically it's a sports drink and filled with sodium and other vitamins and minerals.
Okay.
So
it sounds fancy. Does it work?
It sounds fancy. Yeah. Yeah. Does it work? Does it help?
I don't know if it's any more effective than the regular sports drink. It has less carbohydrates. So depending on the situation, it might be more or less effective. And you're also paying a lot for a lot of vitamins you probably don't need.
So Gatorade and the other, are they all about the same, those sports drinks, in terms of what you get from them?
Typically, most of them have about the same amount of sodium. So it's usually around 240 milligrams per serving in Gatorade or other sports drinks. They're all fairly comparable. They'll all make claims that they're better, more effective at hydrating compared to one or the other. And they're very specific in when you need them. So again, if you're excessively sweating and losing a lot of sodium through sweat, this is when you do want to take in some kind of sports drink with electrolytes.
Wow.
Specifically, and sodium.
They do vary in their carbohydrate content.
And they do vary in carbohydrate.
Depending
you'll
on
see the
whether you feel you need that.
Right. Yeah. And so the longer you're out, extending past 60 minutes, 90 minutes, that's when you will need something probably with carbohydrates. So you need to replenish your fuel sources. And actually, the carbohydrates will be more effective in driving in sodium to your body cells.
Okay, that makes sense. In the in the kid area, is there, do kids act about the same as adults when it comes to being not hydrated enough? I mean, in terms of, let's say I'm a parent, I am, but I of a younger kid, what should I watch for?
Well, children will probably still have a very good thirst mechanism.
Okay.
And so they don't have the same problems as older adults. They are smaller though, so they can dehydrate quickly if, you know, out playing in the summer and it's hot, you know, and as we were speaking about earlier, you want to keep your eye on that and notice if they're not drinking, but also just make all the water available to them. So they come in for a moment to use the bathroom. You might say, do you need a drink of water? Or as you were saying, you maybe have a pitcher or a jug of water outside on the picnic table, or just making it readily accessible to them.
Is it possible to drink too much water?
Potentially, in certain circumstances, you can drink too much water. You know, I think of more specifically in athletic situations where someone is sweating excessively and only replacing by water. They're not replacing sodium. And that's when you get into a dangerous situation where you are taking in too much water and not balancing out electrolytes.
So that could happen on a...
It could happen. And it typically happens more with smaller-bodied individuals. So 10... tends to be the endurance type of folks and the women, because we tend to be smaller. So they tend to be at more risk for excessive water intake.
And as Tara was mentioning, you know, for you and I not doing this, extreme amount of physical activity, the water is going to start to make you feel full. So it also becomes a little bit self-limiting in that you just can't drink so much to have that issue if you're just in a typical work day or whatever.
Well, Beth and Tara, this has been really fun and interesting. Thank you both so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you. Very enjoyable.
Beth Olson, Associate Professor and Extension Specialist in the Nutritional Sciences Department at UW-Madison. And Tara LaRoe, PhD, Registered Dietitian, Faculty Associate in Nutritional Sciences, also at UW-Madison. It's great to have them with us. And what about, talk about perfect timing here. We're getting into the summer season. I'll be off playing in a golf tournament in Canada. I'm thinking about the water I'm going to have to consume in the next week already. But I'm also thinking about my teeth, because I've got a dental appointment coming up in June. And maybe you've thought about your teeth as well a bit. And since teeth is on my mind, I hope it's on yours, because our next guest is going to talk about caring for your teeth. Our guest, Dr. Pradeep Bhagavatola, our guest next. I'm Larry Mueller.